You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right. You are Locked On Broncos. It's time to drop some knowledge. Here we are at the end of the week, and we're ready to tie this thing up with a bow. I'm Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, and with me is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach, an NFL draft analyst, among many other football duties. Luke, what's good, my friend?
It is the end of a week. Another week is in the books. I am excited to hit the weekend, man.
Yep, and chill. Maybe do some Netflix and chill. I've actually been, my wife and I, been watching, I think it's called American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And it's like a dramatic reenactment of the O.J. Simpson trial, the original O.J. Simpson trial in which he was acquitted criminally. So We're looking forward to binging some of that. What are you binging right now, Luke? You binging any Netflix or any Amazon shows?
So it's not really binging because it's still on TV at the moment. It's a new show called Taboo with Tom Hardy. It's like on FX, I think. Basically, it's this kind of quasi-Dickensian, quasi-supernatural thing. It's still like four episodes in, so I'm still trying to figure out what exactly is going on.
Is it good?
Oh, it is good. I mean, I love Tom Hardy. Like, I could talk about movies. Like, we could just have a movie day here on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I could talk about Tom Hardy until the cows come home. I mean, he was excellent in The Revenant. He was excellent in Mad Max. I mean, the guy can just act his socks off, even though it's, you know, usually the same character. I mean, at this point, 70% of the lines on his script are probably just him going,
I loved him. It's underrated. A lot of people don't even know about it, in Bronson, which was one of the roles that kind of catapulted him into the eye of casting directors, taking him seriously as a dramatic actor. Have you ever watched that show, Bronson?
I haven't. I've heard good things about it. I mean, to me, the most impressive role I've seen him in still is in Legend last year when he played two twin brothers who are gangsters. And he played both of them. It was incredible.
Well, we're here to talk football today, and more specifically, we're here to bring you a daily podcast focused entirely on the Denver Broncos, at least 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news, as you know. We're here to do a deep dive on your favorite team. So what really helps us out the most is when you retweet the episodes on Twitter and you share them on your Facebook and social channels. Also, check out our work at MileHighHuddle.com. We have killer premium Broncos content, 10% off for our premium subscribers on tickets, 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. Check that out. And also, open up your phone, open up the Twitter app, follow at LockedOnBroncos. Just take a second. That's helping us out big time as well. And the home of the show is Audio Boom, but also make sure to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher because we have a load of phenomenal content, Broncos football, coming down the pike as we get farther into the offseason. So you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, yesterday we talked, we kind of broke down the more salient points of what Mike McCoy had to say in his introductory press conference on Tuesday. Today, we're going to talk more about Joe Woods, defensive coordinator, of course, and then Brock Olivo, the special teams coordinator. And I want to play two clips of Joe Woods. His remarks were actually a little bit shorter. He's more into the brevity type of thing, where Mike McCoy waxed a little bit longer-winded. But Woods talked about keeping the same blueprint in place that Wade Phillips established in Denver, with a few tweaks coming from Vance Joseph's repertoire, if you will. And I thought it was interesting, Woods' response when he was asked what he perceives to be Denver's biggest defensive weakness and what he's going to do to bolster it. Here's what he said.
That's an obvious question. I'll give you the obvious answer. Obviously, you know, it's the run game. You know, last year was a little bit different for us in terms of how teams attacked us. So right now we're in the process of going through and looking at what we did last year and the areas that we can improve. And obviously run is one of those areas. We didn't play that well defensively against the run. But when you look at those things at this time during the year, it really comes down to the defensive scheme, the execution of the scheme and the coaching of the scheme. And what you find out is really one or more of those things in those areas that you have to address and fix. And that's what we're currently working through to improve that for next year.
Luke, what do you think Woods meant by, you know, talking about how teams changed how they attacked them between 2015 and 2016? What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think the obvious answer is that you had a guy in 2015, well, a couple guys really, in Malik Jackson and Vance Walker. It's been long debated, you know, just whether they had a significant impact rushing the passer, but I don't think there's any question that they just are gaping hole in terms of run defense, and that Jared Crick is just not nearly as capable as Vance Walker is, say, against defending the run. So, you go into 2016, people are just licking their chops trying to run on Denver because, quite frankly, they just don't have the bodies that they did as the year prior just due to injury.
The Atlanta Falcons, I think, in week five really blew the doors down and put a spotlight on that hole. Showing the rest of the league that, hey, if you're going to attack this phenomenal defense, here's where you do it, here's how you do it. But, you know, one of the big concerns with making changes when Wade Phillips left, one of the big concerns in the fan base, of course, was continuity. You know, nobody wants to ruin a good thing. And what the Broncos have going defensively, it's really the identity of the team. And Woods was asked about whether the Broncos will retain the same terminology in 2017 under his leadership. Here's his response.
Terminology is going to be exactly the same. We want to make it easy for the guys. You know, for the players, you know, Vance said it, you know, at his initial press conference, we want to fit the scheme to the players, right? If we have guys that can rush the passer, we want guys to rush the passer. If we have guys that can cover, we want guys that can cover. Put them in those positions. So from a terminology standpoint, we're not going to change anything in terms of what we did in the past. We're going to call everything the same. We're going to have the same adjustments. And again, we'll have a few tweaks along the way, but it's just something we're going to use to enhance what we've done the past 2 years.
Luke, as a coach, talk about why terminology and the continuity of it is so important, and also just what you think Woods might have meant by the tweaking and the enhancing of the defense along the way.
Well, I mean, in the NFL, every team has different words that are going to mean the same thing. You know, every team is going to run different, you know, the same schemes. You know, football is pretty simple when it comes down to it. There's only so many things you could do. And, you know, there are definitely, you know, just lexicons of terminology when it comes to it. So it definitely is important to keep the same terminology for those players. You know, I even just think a couple of years ago with the Seahawks, I think a great example was Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson being on the same team. Obviously, they'd been teammates back in Buffalo, and, you know, Marshawn had been a Seahawk for a while when Fred Jackson came over, and sometimes Jackson was struggling to pick up the offense, and Marshawn would pull him aside and say, hey, it's the same thing we used to do in Buffalo, except this time it's called this instead of this.
Right, right.
You know, it's the same kind of concept. So for the players, it's going to feel like they're running the same offense, or excuse me, the same defense, because it's the same language that they're talking from last year. I think just the tweaks and enhances, you know, it happens every year. You're going to make changes throughout the year. You know, I've certainly been in places where you're going to say, all right, you know, this was working great, but this isn't working so well. So what if we can kind of correct here and, you know, tweak this? You know, you're always looking to improve your defense. And, you know, that's not going to mean changing from a 3-4 to a 4-3 halfway through. I mean, that's right. An extreme example, considering this is like a hybrid defense. But, you know, it's not going to be anything significant. It's going to be asking, hey, you know, I want you to wall this player in this situation and, you know, kind of protect the middle instead of dropping back, that sort of thing.
Well, and Vance Joseph, you know, as a defensive-oriented coach, defense coordinator of the Miami Dolphins, you know, he's going to have some of his own things that he likes to do. And Joe Woods talked about that, you know, there are some, when he talked about the tweaks, these are some of the things that, you know, we might see changes in the respect of what Joseph likes to do in this particular situation or whatever. But for those worried about the tweaks and enhancements being, you know, fire cell type of changes, no. I mean, this Vance Joseph's already said things are sticking the way they are. They're sticking with the 3-4. So don't worry about that. Now, we're going to talk about some of the things Brock Olivo said. But before we do, I want to talk about a study that was done by the Interactive Advertising Bureau and Edison Research. which basically revealed that consumers are highly likely to purchase from podcast sponsors. According to the survey of 1,000 podcast listeners, nearly two-thirds, 65% of them, were more willing to consider purchasing products and services they learned about during a podcast. 60% added that given equal price and quality, they prefer to purchase from companies that actually advertise on their favorite podcasts. So if you're listening to this show as a business owner, that's some powerful data. If you'd like to reach the male demographic in particular between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast because 98% of the Locked On Broncos listenership is male, 80% of which are between the ages of 18 to 44. Now, our rates are reasonable. It's how Luke and I pay the bills. Feel free to reach out to us at lockedonbroncos@gmail.com. We can talk about it. Now, Luke, let's move finally over to Brock Olivo. And, you know, look, special teams isn't the sexiest phase of football. Let's face it. It's not the one that's going to sell tickets. But it is something. It is a phase that helps decide each and every game. First and foremost, Brock Olivo talked about how he can bring success to a Broncos special teams unit that really has been kind of flat for a few years, notwithstanding some of the successes Brandon McManus has had as a kicker and, of course, Riley Dixon's impressive rookie campaign. Here's what Olivo had to say.
So one of the reasons why I'm so fortunate to be here right now, and what is your name again, sir? I'm sorry. Andrew. One of the reasons I'm so fortunate to be here is because Vance Joseph understands the importance of special teams. And he understands the one-down philosophy. That is that special teams can swing the course of a game and it can win games in this league. And he and Mr. Elway know the importance of that. And so we're going to implement the philosophy, that one-down philosophy, all right? And we're going to have our identity. Andrew is going to be fast, smart, tough. We're going to bring that to town. The guys, and I know this roster pretty well because we've played against them twice a year for the last 3 years now. So now, obviously, with attrition and everything that happens in free agency, the identity is going to change a little bit. But we know what we're walking into here, and it's a good situation. We love it. And my goals are going to be, look, I got to give Joe and I got to give Mike the best field position possible. And that's how we're going to roll here, Andrew.
Certainly is a, you know, listening to him, certainly an energetic fella, Luke. Your thoughts on Olivo's comments there, talking about the one-down philosophy, how special teams can swing the course of a game. You've coached that phase in the past, have you not?
I have been a special teams coordinator in the past, and quite honestly, special teams is incredibly underrated. I mean, it offers you the ability to flip the field if you have a well-executed punt, or if it's a poorly executed one, you're definitely going to notice in terms of yardage on the field. I mean, if you can get a team pinned back inside the 10, you know, how likely are they to get a first down? Well, probably not that likely. Now, if you have a punt that just gets shanked and it goes out of bounds at the 40, what are the odds they're going to score? Well, pretty good, as it turns out. And now, you know, it's going to be a pretty difficult way to kind of overhaul this special teams in any kind of sense. And so it's important for him to step in and say, hey, I know this roster. I know what you guys are capable of. All right, let's go out and put together some good special teams reps. I mean, when you have a roster that's as talented as Denver's, the depth guys, they're going to be special teamers. And even though that they have some talent, they could sneak onto the field on offense or defense. When you get them on the field on special teams, they're making plays out there. And that's really important in an NFL that, you know, in this league is so dominated by, you know, the stars. It's always important to remember the guys like Justin Simmons hurdling the snapper to block the extra point,
right,
or you know, Will Park scooping it up and scoring.
Yep, and it's spawned the careers of many guys who have gone on to Pro Bowls and even the Hall of Fame. Look at what happened for Terrell Davis.
Yeah,
making that huge hit, covering a kick in Tokyo in a preseason game as a sixth-round pick at the bottom of a running back depth chart where he was the sixth and final guy and ended up, you know, catapulting him, leapfrogging over guys to be the day one starter. So absolutely special teams is important. And really with Olivo, the final thing I want to touch on was his response to the personal obstacle that he faces in his jump from being an assistant to a full-blown special teams coordinator and a first-team coordinator, or first-time coordinator, for that matter, and really what he's going to bring to the table. Here's what he said.
Dave did a great job of preparing me, and he's done that with guys in the past. I mean, I'm not the first that he's sent out to be a coordinator. So his coaching tree is ever evolving, and I'm just the latest. I'm just the latest branch. And I tell you, he does a great job because he involves you on a daily basis in the game planning. He gets feedback from you. He makes you feel part of it. And so he's not only teaching you his philosophy and the approach, but he's more worried about you learning. So there's a big difference between teaching and learning, and Dave Tobe gets that. He approaches his players like that as well, and that's what we're going to implement here too. We're not just going to sit up here and say, hey, you've got X and you've got O and et cetera, et cetera. We're going to make sure that they understand why they've got X and why they've got O and what we're doing, why we do what we do. And look, man, we're going to be simple. We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable. And we're going to turn our guys loose. And really, our motto, and it's going to be on my office, is going to be cut it loose and have fun. That's what we're going to do. Because these guys got a lot on their plate on offense and defense, so we're not going to bog them down with a lot. So now that I've answered the second part of your question, the first part of your question was, how am I going to make the transition as a first-time coordinator? I feel ready. I feel like I'm ready to roll. And with the help and good guidance from a great leader like Vance Joseph, working hand-in-hand with Mike and Joe on a daily basis in practice, and then a great assistant, like I mentioned earlier, with Chris Gold, we're going to hit the ground running.
Man, it's crazy to hear how well-regarded Dave Tobe is around the league. Obviously, you know, he talked about, in you know, like a father-son type of relationship, not in that particular quote or clip, but that influence on Brock Olivo from Tobe and other coaches that have gone on from that coaching tree to have success in the NFL is quite phenomenal and surprises me, really, even to this day, that Tobe wasn't able to land himself a head coaching gig. But Luke, I've got to say, I like the KILL, KILL IT acronym. Tell us what you know about Olivo's philosophy and KILL IT.
Yeah, we'll keep it likable, keep it learnable. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. I think another kind of common acronym among special teams coordinators is KISS, keep it simple, stupid. When it comes to special teams, I mean, the idea for the best special teams coordinators is they're trying to put themselves basically out of a job, right? I mean, mm-hmm. The guys that they have that they want to develop, their goal is for those guys next year not to be playing special teams, because starters don't really play special teams and your stars usually do not as well. So their job is to get those depth guys, you know, that fourth inside linebacker, that third free safety. They want to get them up onto defense, and they want to get them having made enough plays into the defensive rotation. I mean, they want them to take the next step. And so for them, they're not going to say, all right, you know, here's our incredibly complex, you know, scheme where, you know, here's how we adjust on punts. No, they're going to say, all right, here's our punt blocking formation. Here's the way the punt blocking scheme draws up. And then that's it, you know, and it's pretty straightforward from there, because they're not trying to make these guys think, or, you know, on defense, how are they going to respond when the offense sets up in this formation or da, 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 da. No, they're going to go out there. They're going to say, here's the formation. Here's the scheme. Go be an athlete. Go make some plays.
It was a breath of fresh air, though, actually getting a chance to hear from the three coordinators that are going to be working under a first-time head coach. And I got to say, I think the team's in some pretty good hands. And it's great to see kind of the upward mobility that John Elway in the front office is offering in Denver for coaches, and how that trickles down and is perceived around the league. But, hey, thanks for listening, everybody. It's been a great week for the show. Thanks for your support. Keep retweeting the episodes. Keep sharing them. Keep subscribing. Tell your friends. Tell your family. There's Broncos country is legion, and eventually we want this show to reach everybody. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos, Luke at Luke Polglaze, myself at Chad N. Jensen. We love hearing from you. Keep hitting us up. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network. You know the drill. Locked On NFL Draft is phenomenal, believe me. And Locked On NFL, as we get closer to free agency, you're going to want to check that out too. And don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We will talk to you next week.
Mile High Huddle.
Hey, hey, hey.